Welcome to MLB Daily, your one-stop shop for daily baseball content. I am LJ LaFura. Alongside me, I've got Brandon Karam, and we are a Belly Up Sports podcast. We are what they aren't. Brandon, how you doing?
LJ, doing good. A little Saturday night recording. It is about 9:45 right now. In the middle of watching Yankees White Sox. Yanks are down 2-0 in the top of the eighth. Just another game where we give Jordan Montgomery absolutely zero run support. This is like DeGrom-esque stuff that we've seen in terms of run support given to a pitcher.
Honestly, yeah, that's, again, fair. But at the same time, you can't ask for things to go right all of the time.
Oh, no, absolutely not, yeah.
Not like everything can just be peaches and cream here. It's not like Judge isn't going to jack one out right now and just make things all the more interesting.
If he takes Joe Kelly deep here, I'll go pretty nuts.
Yeah, and at this point, again, we're putting Joe Kelly. Wait, time out. We're putting Joe Kelly after. What did Tony learn?
Nothing.
He put Joe Kelly into the game in a 2-0 game in the eighth inning. Brandon, this makes no sense.
With the top of the lineup do up.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
Judge singled. Okay.
Yeah, that's not surprising because you've given this guy no chance to warm up into both the city, the team, or the season. This is stupid.
All right, LJ, well, while the Yankees are trying to mount a rally here in the eighth, we wanted to talk about, because we kind of brought it up at the end of yesterday's show, this whole deal with Alex Rodriguez potentially could be interested in buying the Miami Marlins. LJ, I mean, first of all, I'm not sure how serious this whole thing actually is. From what we've seen, like the quotes just sound very like corporate, very just like very basic response. Like one of the quotes I saw, he said, well, it's going to depend on the price as to whether or not they wanted to make a bid. Like that just sounds super generic to me. I mean, he already owns part of the Minnesota Timberwolves, which he said that he wants to focus more time on, and I believe a WNBA franchise as well. So
I'm assuming it's the Minnesota Lynx.
That would make sense.
Either way, who would actually want to spend more time focusing on that?
I mean, not to turn this into a basketball podcast, but the Timberwolves have, I mean, they made the playoffs this year. They have a very bright future. The franchise probably made more money this season than they have in a lot of their last few seasons.
All around a perpetual loser, though.
But the future is there. Like,
yeah, the future is there with a different superstar. I don't know. I'm very out on Carl Anthony Towns. But either way, the way I read into this whole A-Rod thing, you know, we had to at least fulfill one of our promises from yesterday's show. But it seems almost like this is the exact play he needs to get the Marlins, is saying he'd be interested depending on price. Because this is now – is this one or two teams that he's been in on that he hasn't gotten? I think this is the second bid.
Who else was he in on?
I genuinely can't remember.
Was it the Royals? No.
Maybe it was the Royals. Was it the Marlins the last time they were up? I'm not crazy, though, right? He was in conversation for another team somewhere along the line.
I think so at some point.
He, of course, was very much involved with the New York Mets and everything that was going on there right before Steve Cohen bought it. That whole – honestly, it was one of the most entertaining parts of 2020 during the shutdowns and everything, was following this Mets ownership story as they went through rounds of bidders and everything. And then all of a sudden you get casino tycoons hopping in there last minute. And it was just absolute madness.
LJ, yeah, the I can't believe that we just completely, this was a huge oversight. They got second place for the Mets, A-Rod and his bidding group.
Yes.
Yes, like they were second. Like that's to Steve Cohen.
They were the first losers to Steve Cohen. That's a
Yeah.
that's a good spot to be.
It's also important to note that his nephew is on the team now, Joe Dunnan, shortstop. I'm not sure how much that matters. The dude's like 26 and just made his debut. But that is certainly interesting. Derek Jeter is now out of that organization, right?
Yes. That's another all the
He could
more
one
interesting
up
reason.
him.
Yeah, I mean, more so I think it's a matter of I think A-Rod really wants to have a Major League Baseball team. And I can't fault him for that.
No.
I would like one. Brandon, would you like a Major League Baseball team if you could afford
Absolutely.
it? 100%. So, it's definitely a situation where this is something he really wants, but the other side of this is the fact of are they actually looking to sell? Like, yes, we know that this team has been a money pit for the last couple of years. Really, since the pandemic, things have not gone well for them. That ultimately was part of why Jeter left because, he isn't able to get the funding to build the team the way he wants. So he leaves. He doesn't get the opportunity to spend money and make it an actually competitive team. They're gonna blow this game, and I'm not gonna feel bad at all. Actually, I'm gonna feel bad for Joe Kelly because
LJ gets the live updates as I'm
I'm just,
watching it and dancing.
yeah, I'm just, you're so irritated as a Joe Kelly supporter, a proud Joe Kelly supporter. He set him up to fail. You got to agree with me here.
As
Tony La
a
Russa
you're a
has
proud
doomed Joe Kelly.
you're a proud Joe Kelly supporter and a proud Tony La Russa hater.
Yes.
Yeah,
Also,
LJ.
a
Oh, he
proud
just
Jay
pulled him.
Dominguez hater. I haven't gotten a chance to say that in a while, but bum.
He just pulled Joe Kelly.
Yeah, I wonder why. Maybe because you've given him literally every high leverage situation that he could possibly be asked to be put into right after getting back from a pretty serious injury. But back to A-Rod.
Back to A-Rod real quick.
I guess my point is, yes, it's a money pit. That's why Jeter left. They weren't willing to spend the money to make it not a money pit, but they also don't want to stop complaining about the fact that it's a money pit. The ownership says that they're not selling. So if A-Rod said, I want the Mets, or I'm sorry, I want the Marlins, the value for the franchise shoots up significantly just because he wants it and they all of a sudden become more interested. They're like, hey, there's a market here. Maybe we should sell. If he says, oh, for the right price, I'll do it, then all of a sudden you're going to be able to tamp down that market and really be a more realistic contender to get the team sooner rather than later. So this isn't necessarily a show of intent as much as it's a show of what he needs to do to get the team. Like this is the means to the end. Also, what needs to be taken into account is this recent Broncos sale. Because I think that's really going to screw with all of these teams and ownership changes for the next couple of years. Trying to figure out the market because I forget whether that was was that 5 billion or 2 billion, something ridiculous
It was
that the
way over. It
Broncos
was way
owned.
over, way overpriced.
Yeah, that's gonna it's gonna bump up the market. Like the market is going to be in chaos for the next 5 years, probably, because that's how infrequently these teams change hands. So that's going to be another big thing to keep in under consideration is what does this Broncos oversell do to the baseball market?
LJ, Tony La Russa has hit the emergency button, bringing in Liam Hendricks to get five outs.
All right, look, as a fantasy Liam Hendricks owner, I'm terrified. This just
2021, Liam Hendricks has 10 game tying slash go ahead home runs allowed in the seventh inning or later. That's the most in the league. What? How? But thank you, Yes Network.
Brandon, today, just a quick fantasy check-in. In my other league, I was down 50 going into the day with the same amount of starters. The only difference is I have a huge relief corps, like ridiculously large relief corps. And so I'm like, I just need a couple of them to show up, ball out, get some saves, and all of a sudden I'm right back in this. Instead, I get the blown save on the three-run homer walk-off for Oakland out of Rossell Iglesias. I get a win out of Kenley Jansen, which just a bizarre two innings from him. This has just been a really weird day, and I have a feeling it's going to continue to get even weirder with Liam Hendricks. This is just, ugh.
Yeah.
Tony.
Oh, and the Yankees, they stole third, so it's first and third now with one out.
Oh, beautiful.
Donaldson up. LJ, my fantasy team as of late in our league, I was like last for the first like 2 weeks. LJ, I have gone up to fourth place, thanks in large part to having both Judge Stanton and Yordan Alvarez. So I just.
Jordan, so fun to watch.
And Jean Segura has been really good as of late. I have J.P. Crawford, who has had a fantastic season. Still, I still have Stephen Kwan on my team, who is actually been staying pretty good. He's still a 284 hitter. And of course, my pitching is just gross. Shane Bieber, Verlander, Gerrit Cole, Severino. I have Jacob deGrom and Kikuchi and Zach Wheeler once they come back. Like it's over, LJ.
It's done. You're done.
You're
All
done.
right. On Josh Donaldson, though, you did send this to me last night. His last 15 games, 278, 400, 519. This is a dead ball swing we've got out of Josh Donaldson.
His weighted runs created
Natural
plus is
power.
higher this year than it was last year.
Natural power. Honestly, this is it's been really impressive. This is
Yeah,
really an impressive run to see. And to kind of get him back in the fold, and all of a sudden now you're really like, could you imagine if you get all three of those guys going at the same time? Which you kind of have right now, actually. And as I say that, like, and part of
it's
the success is you've got Judge's heating up, Stanton's been heating up and sending out absolute lasers, and now Donaldson's putting up stuff like that. It's crazy. But Brandon, we want to go over to the West Coast and some news out of San Diego.
Yeah, let's go for it.
Actually,
LJ.
though, I
Yes.
mid-production meeting, just for my own satisfaction, if I'm not going to get my mustache versus beard thing, can we switch the third segment and the fourth segment so we go up the coast?
Okay, that's perfectly fine with me. Okay. LJ.
San Diego.
San Diego. The San Diego Padres are likely to finalize a deal with Robinson Cano. They're among a handful of teams that express interest, according to Joel Sherman. He's gonna sign a major league contract, and this is a Padres infield as Josh Donaldson strikes out. This is a Padres infield that already has Ha-Seong Kim, Eric Hosmer, Manny Machado, Jake Cronenworth. We certainly know that now with Cano there, and once Tatis gets back, there's gonna be some kind of shuffling around. Matt Beattie, who's been playing a little bit of first base, a little bit of outfield for them. He's been bad though. You imagine once he comes off the IL, he'll get DFA'd. Yeah, I don't understand this so much for the Padres, but clearly they see something in him and they don't have to pay that massive contract, so.
Well, it's worth a shot. I mean, this team has been desperately all winter. They've got a budget that they've got to stick under, but they're also constantly trying to figure out some way, somehow, to get better. And this is a potential way to get better that's very cost effective. You bring in Robinson Cano, who, in my opinion, right now, if he were to get hot, slots right in as the everyday second baseman. I mean, Jake Cronenworth, it's been a rough start. And maybe you just move him around, you give him he could get almost everyday play as you just rotate and rest and put him at every other position. You also, if he stays good and has a good run here, you could see Fernando Tatis move back out to the outfield, which would probably, right field is probably the healthiest spot for him to be. So that's not a bad situation for this team to be in as well, because at this point, you'll be happy with me saying this, Brandon. Hosu and Kim really deserves to be in the lineup right now, still. So that's not a situation that I'm really quick to move off of if I am the Padres. So this is a scenario with a lot of options. DH, of course, is also very much in play, as Luke Voit's got two home runs. I think they were both very recent. So if he slumps even the slightest sooner rather
No,
than
he's
later.
starting to heat up. He's starting to heat up.
Is he? Again, I hope
No,
so.
so I was watching the Padres broadcast the other day, and they were talking about how he was like, he was battling some sort of injury, and then he went into the cage after he returned for like 2 hours with the hitting coach and said he like learned a lot and he figured out a lot. LJ, checking on like his overall stats though for the year, he's got a 113 weighted runs created plus. Like that's the thing, is like there is such a difference in what the average hitter is for this year compared to years past, that like a high 600 OPS and you're an above average hitter.
Yeah, that's true. That's very
It's
true.
very strange, 'cause like I'm the first to do it too. Use Look at a guy, you see like a 320 on base and like a 350, 360 slugging percentage, and you're like, oh, like that guy's not having a good start to the year. That's like a 105 weighted runs created plus guy this year. Just how it is.
It's just how it is. Some guys with that too are being more affected more than others. It's just the way it's the way you play the game, and it's honestly, again, I'm glad to hear that. I hadn't looked it too deep into this, of course, because this is literally just me kind of spouting with Luke Voit, but it never felt like he had a three true outcomes style. Like, yes, he's a power hitter, but he's not Joey Gallo's, he's not the Yasmani Grandal, especially Yasmani Grandal, who literally only tries to hit home runs and doesn't have the swing for it with the dead ball. And so now all of a sudden him hitting it 15% of the time does absolutely nothing. But the other wrinkle of this whole thing is the fact that if Robinson Cano has a bad 3 weeks to start, has a bad 2 weeks even, they can cut him just as easily as they signed him. There's
Yeah,
no money
good
again that's
point.
going to be really holding them down. So this is easily just them being able to kind of test the waters with a lefty bat. I'm all for it.
LJ, real quick, Mike Clevinger in the two starts that he's made since returning, not the best.
No, I mean, is it that shocking? I mean, this guy,
Yeah, it's been a it's it has been a minute. It's been a
it's
minute.
been more than a minute. And another reason for this, another guy who's kind of getting set up to fail here is Mike Clevinger, because you're coming into a relatively competitive starting pitching rotation, and you're talking about the 10th best ERA among starters in baseball out of this group. You've got some real standout performances, Joe Musgrove, Mackenzie Gore. Overall, I would say Nick Martinez, that's been a standout add, because I mean, he's doing exactly what you asked him to, if not a little more right now. Yu Darvish, disappointing, but there's room to get a guy with Mike Clevinger's level of talent in there if he performs well. But all of a sudden he's coming into a situation, all right, I'm the sixth guy out of these five. I got to prove my worth, and I have to come in now after injury. This isn't a relaxing spot to coast into, is I guess what I'm getting at here. Like, he really had to come out and prove his worth right away. Now he only has a couple more starts to do that before they're going to have to really start considering, maybe we move it back down to five. Who gets the boot? Is it Clevinger? Is it Martinez? Is it? That's the only two I can really see it being. But right now, I mean, I'm not so sure I pick Mike Clevinger, especially if he continues to struggle in this high pressure environment.
LJ, I was just looking at some interesting stats here. As of right now, if I had a vote for NL Rookie of the Year, I'm giving it to Mackenzie Gore.
Yeah, if
It,
I put that.
he's been he leads all rookie pitchers in Fangraphs WAR with 0.7. He has 0.6 on Baseball Reference. In terms of hitters, when you're looking at where their WAR stands, Jeremy Peña on Houston, 1.7. That's like more than a double of the next hitter, which is Gilberto Celestino for the Twins. But it's all American League guys until you get to Geraldo Perdomo on the Diamondbacks. I've never heard of this guy before. Really good defensive value, looks like, and he's got 0.6. My point is, like, Mackenzie Gore has more WAR than any NL rookie right now, and it'd be tough to vote against Seiya, but Mackenzie Gore's been really freaking good. And just because he's on the Padres, he gets so over like they've been so overshadowed this entire season, the Padres. They really have. No one's talking about them. They're 21 and 13. They're a half game back from first.
I think the collapse last year just got no one excited about him.
They're still so damn good. Like, this is a well put together team.
Yeah,
And
it was just.
with Cano, this could be, like you said, if Cano gets hot, which who knows if it's gonna happen. More than likely it's not going to, but you signed him for 560 grand. Like, he was gonna play for anything at this point. So it's especially for a team that needed a little depth too. They need a left-handed hitter. They really don't have a lot of lefties, LJ. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does make sense. Just to counter your Mackenzie Gore spot, but I think that's really very likely. Like that's a really serious spot to give consideration to. But honestly, the spot I'd like to give more to, just because he's going to get the story over Mackenzie Gore at this rate, especially with the fact that he's in the same division and it's a much more compelling story than the Padres are at this point. And that's Alek Thomas of the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Didn't he like just come up though?
Has a serious claim. Yes, that's the one downside I'm saying to this is the fact that yes, guys like Seiya and Mackenzie Gore, they both get a head start. But this has been a very good 13 games or 13 5 games. What is it?
LJ, he's got
13 5 games.
13 at bats, but
Either
still
way, though, we're talking about
0.5 WAR. I
I'm
mean,
talking about
five.
narrative. I'm talking about narrative. You're still talking about a guy who. You're talking about a four tool hitter who I think legitimately has a chance to be in play here because if he keeps up a fraction of this, if we're talking about a 300, if we're talking 350 with 500 slugging, if we're able to, or actually that may even be too much. If we're talking about a 750 OPS out of this guy, and this team hangs on somewhere around 500 or 500 through June. That's a story, and he's going to become a big part of that story. So, like, there's a lot of ways I think Mackenzie Gore is a lot easier to jump than say a Suzuki, just on narrative alone and just on exposure alone.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Like, and you really don't even have to be that good. I mean, the Reds were not that good last season, really, throughout the entire year, and they still had got their guy, the Rookie of the Year. The Mariners were not that good in 2020. They still got their guy, Rookie of the Year. You're right that I feel like narrative plays a lot of the role, in award voting.
It's just easier to get exposure in one of those narratives.
Well, I gotta give Alek Thomas more than two series in the bigs. Like, let's give him a week now.
We need to make a graphic that we keep updating on the guys that each of us are in and out on.
Yeah, like, and then like in the future, it's like LJ, my Shohei Ohtani stock. Like, heading into last season, I had a lot of
Oh,
show,
you have a
like,
ton.
but like my return on investment on my Shohei Ohtani stock is very good. Like, that's like my GameStop.
Oh, it's plenty good enough to
My Ha
justify,
Sung Kim stock is
sure.
looking good too.
Finally, but again, after last year, you all that Hasan Kim stock. What would you say? Your portfolio was 50% Shohei, 40% Ha.
Oh no, I got a lot of. If we're talking about like for the future, like guys I'm in on, like I got a lot of Acuña, a lot of Soto. I'm just like
All right,
buying
you
like the
obviously didn't
massive
build the
companies.
entire
No, no,
stock.
no. I'm buying these massive companies now. Like even and I just see there's so much more potential for growth in the future. You know.
Brandon strictly looks at the Fortune 500.
Ha Sung Kim is definitely not Fortune 500.
Oh, so you're doubting him. You're tanking your stocks
Oh,
here, Brandon.
all right, give the tell us who your stock is in on. Who you've had
Oh,
stock on.
can I tell you who my stock's out on?
Yeah, who'd you sell?
Who I sold? Sold Jason Dominguez the second I had an opportunity. Sold Joe Dedele the second I had an opportunity. Sold Kleenex the second after I got the opportunity. Honestly, my stock is probably 90% in Wander Franco, and I feel very comfortable with that. No need to
Yeah,
diversify.
I mean, that's as Fortune 500 as it gets, but
Go.
you have some of Justin Verlander stock too. You were in on him for
I
like
was
all
all
of
in
last year.
on him. I have my share of Joey Bart stock as well that I'm pretty pleased with.
Adley
But
Rutschman.
with that being said, I also have a little more Seth Beer stock than I was hope than I probably should be hoping to have right now.
Yeah, you
It's been a
have.
rough time since that home run. What's he doing? 200, 230, 300 or something like that?
And that was on opening day too
Yeah.
against the Padres.
Currently 200, 200, 293, 275. I wasn't too far off with those estimates, and he still hasn't hit a home run since.
Well, LJ, we are right at about the half hour point of the episode. Let's get these last two. Let's get through the last two things,
Two
and then
minutes,
we'll get out of
please.
here. All
All right.
right, because we switched the third and fourth segment, this segment is going to be about Clayton Kershaw.
Moving up that coast.
Moving up the coast. LJ, the Dodgers are placing Clayton Kershaw on the 15-day IL due to right SI joint inflammation. The team doesn't anticipate it being a long-term absence. Gerrit Clevinger recalled from AAA in the corresponding move. This is a guy who turned 34 last month.
Only 34?
Yeah, and he's
Really?
still been, is it fair to say, pretty dominant so far this year?
He's barely ever dropped off, let's be real.
I mean, he's got the 1.8 ERA, 4 wins. Yeah, he's been
Like,
extremely good, even compared to the league average when you look at how good some of those guys are. He's been excellent. He's only walked 3 batters in 30 innings.
I don't mind the 2021 stats either. Like, they weren't like the best, but all great pitchers have down years all the time. This dude never fell off.
LJ, it's important to note now that here's what the Dodgers rotation is looking like. So Andrew Heaney also on the IL. Julio Urias, Tony Gonsolin, Tyler Anderson, that's or and Walker Buehler, that's their top four. David Price got COVID at the end of April. He began throwing. They think he's going to be able to come back next week. He's only worked exclusively in relief, and they said like right out of the gate they're not going to throw him into a start. They want him to at least get some innings out of the bullpen before that. So it looks like our guy Ryan Pepiot could be the fifth starter here for at least a few more series, LJ.
Yeah, and it was a fair outing. Three innings, three strikeouts, no earned, one hit.
Yeah.
Walked quite a bit of guys.
First
That
start though,
it's
nerves.
unfortunate. It's not the end of the world, I agree. This is overall, yeah, that was it was solid. It was fine. Overall, are we ever going to be concerned with the Dodgers pitching?
No,
No.
we're not.
We're fine.
Even though the Pirates took 2 out of 3 from them, right?
Sounds right.
Yeah, and I'm not concerned.
No.
Well,
Okay.
LJ, last
Wait,
segment.
before we go to
Oh,
the last
one more
segment,
thing.
I did have one more question for Dr. Brandon.
Okay.
Where's the SI joint?
Not sure.
Yeah.
Let's look it up.
We need a follow-up.
Let's look it up.
Looking up the SI joint. I just didn't know Sports Illustrated was into advertising in the human body now.
Oh, the
It's in the back, I feel like 90 or
SI joint is
while Brandon
in
tries to pull
the
this up.
pelvis
It's in the
area.
pelvis. Oh, buddy, no.
Like in that general area of the body, without
Oh.
getting too into it.
Poor Clayton. The dude can't play baseball. The dude can't do one of the things he loves most. And now that's all because of a pelvis-related injury. I mean, how much worse could it be? What injury could be worse for having time off? Dude's down bad.
All right, LJ. Well, our last segment, we're going to be talking about a trade that went down today. The Astros acquire Mauricio Dubón, a utility player from the San Francisco Giants, in exchange for a catcher who is 26 years old and is in AAA named Michael Papierski. Dubon, I found out today, was drafted by the Red Sox in 2013. And a guy that has, when you look at his career stats, I mean, just under 700 OPS, he is definitely not a league average hitter, but he's good in the field, so he definitely has a positive WAR for his career. Like, that's what I can give him. And for just a part-time guy, that's pretty solid contributions for, especially not a starting player.
Yeah, it's this is an interesting spot. I really wanted to talk about this today just because this is very indicative of the way the league's going to be going. And we kind of got to be realistic with that. I mean, this is a guy, you're right, hasn't been a good, really good hitter, but he's been a solid enough hitter. You know, if you're giving me a 75, 80 weighted runs created plus, that's not the end of the world. That's not something I'm going to necessarily like complain about, especially when the defensive side is positive and you're able to give me versatility. You're able to play all around the diamond. That's a really good spot to have. But what we're kind of seeing here is we're seeing a San Francisco team, a National League team, the National League, which used to preach versatility, flexibility, because they had to make 80 million lineup changes every single night, now going away from that because who is it? Is it Wilmer Flores is the other guy that basically does a utility role as well?
Yeah, for the Giants, him, Tyro Estrada.
Yeah, so they already had their
Those
handful
guys.
of those types of guys, is I guess what I'm getting at here. And all of a sudden they're making themselves a little less deep on the versatility end because you don't really necessarily need it in the same way you used to now that you have the DH. It doesn't matter half as much how much versatility you have on your squad. It's better to get the options, the opportunities, the high quality player rather than the versatile player. Because this was in part a move to bring back Tommy La Stella, I'm pretty sure, who should be on his way back very soon. 10-day IL guy. This is a guy who plays second and third, mostly second, and will most likely slot right into their lineup. So this was a play for a higher quality player with less versatility to take over for the formerly required versatile guy.
And the Yankees blow, or Liam Hendricks blows the save.
How about that?
Yankees get a sacrifice fly to
How about
tie
that?
it up at 2. I was talking and recording, so I didn't see how we got runners. It was second and third with no outs. Let me see what happened, how we got on. Joey Gallo walk and then an IKF single, and then we had a double steal, it looks like. Or no, steal second, okay. Because Gallo went to third on the single. Nice.
It's okay though, because this gives me an opportunity for a win. So,
Yeah, it does. If the White Sox walk it off. But
just gotta walk it off.
I
That's all.
think that's gonna do it for today's show. Thank you guys for listening. Be sure to check us out Instagram, Twitter, TikTok at MLB Daily Pod. As always, we'll be recording Sunday night during Sunday Night Baseball tomorrow. But until then, enjoy, and we'll see you.
See you manana.